Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with Charlie Goldsmith, and we are here to break down the Bengals' upcoming game against the Baltimore Ravens, a highly anticipated matchup, probably one of the best matchups in the NFL this week. The Bengals are traveling to Baltimore to face a very good Ravens team that caught me by surprise, but I think a lot of people at how good the Ravens have been because so many of their starters were injured in the preseason, and it looked like how could the Ravens ever get past some of the injuries that they took with Marcus Peters, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. They were completely depleted at the running back position, had some key injuries on defense, and right now they look like one of the best teams in the NFL, and it's all because of Lamar Jackson and the play he has. So, Charlie, let's start with let's go back and talk about what happened in the Bengals-Ravens games last year and why this is such an important game for the Bengals to show their legitimacy.
So each game was a little bit of a different story. The first one, Lamar Jackson was hurt, but the defense, maybe correspondingly, played at a very high level to give the Bengals a chance to win. They had a Ravens-specific scheme. There was a lot more Akeem Davis Gaither, and they used Darius Phillips in kind of a hybrid nickel corner role where he was often responsible for keeping Lamar in check. It was a similar game plan week 17 when they faced the Ravens. That time, Lamar was fully healthy, and the Bengals, frankly, could have had an eye towards the offseason, and the Ravens had one of the most, gave the Bengals one of their most embarrassing losses of the past few seasons, but definitely the first matchup in Baltimore last season is the one to keep an eye on. It was the first big test of Joe Burrow's career where he had to figure out how to identify and react to a complex blitz scheme. It was a game that showed his struggles against pressure at that time, and it was a building block for him that he has taken a lot of areas since to address.
Yeah, so specifically to the Ravens, let's talk about the storyline coming into this game, and that is, will the Bengals be able to stop Lamar Jackson to a point where you're not going to completely shut his production down, but you got to limit him? And the Bengals defense, I don't think anybody saw the unit being this good. They've surprised everyone. They're a top five defense in a number of statistical categories. They are what's making this Bengals team 4-2. Sure, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow have made some great plays at times, but from a consistency standpoint, it's been the Bengals' defense, and this is going to be the biggest test for them. The Packers, yes, you can say with Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, that was a big test for them, but for the most part, they held Aaron Rodgers to some of the lowest he's had all season long. They kept him out of the end zone. Anytime you keep the Packers to two touchdowns, that's a good game for the defense. But Lamar adds another element that the Bengals haven't really seen so far this year. And when I went back through the numbers, it is alarming how good Lamar Jackson has been against Lou Anarumo's defense since he took over. And I think Lou's defense is definitely made a step up this year. But when you go through the numbers, Lamar Jackson, in the words of Aaron Rodgers here, has owned the Bengals defense.
So the Bengals this season have a very different defense, but specifically for this matchup, I look at three areas. They have the linebackers, the nose tackle, and the slot corner to have a better chance in this matchup. So as I mentioned, last season, Akeem Davis Gaither and Darius Phillips had the roles that I described. And then there was DJ Reader at nose tackle, but he only played about 20 snaps before he suffered his season-ending injury. Then in week 17, it was a similar combination of linebackers and slot corners. Obviously, then Reader was out, and the Bengals were starting street free agents in that game to try to stop the run when the Ravens ran a read option concept. So this season, they have Reader. They have Wilson, who will probably feel like a version of Davis Gaither's role if they go to a 4-3. And then, of course, they have Mike Hilton. Of all the Bengals signings, I'm most convinced that Hilton was brought in with a Ravens game plan in mind because of his in-division knowledge and experience and athleticism in space to keep up with Lamar Jackson. So, again, they have, we talked about this offseason, how every piece now on the defense is something that this coaching staff and this version of the front office targeted, identified, and built. And that applies looking towards this Ravens game as well. These are the guys they wanted heading into the season, and these are the guys they thought they needed heading into a matchup against Lamar.
So with Lamar, it starts and ends with, okay, well, you could say going into this season, if you make Lamar Jackson one-dimensional, you can beat him. Because I don't think a lot of us were convinced that he could really throw the ball consistently for an entire game, because he hadn't proved that he could do that. Now, he's almost daring you to stack the box and force him to beat you with his arm, because he's absolutely shredding defenses. I mean, look what he did to the Chargers defense last week. The Chargers defense is one of the better units in the NFL, led by one of the best defensive minds in Brandon Staley. And Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews look like they have a connection that it's taken them a while to get there with Lamar and his arm, but he's showing that all the people that say Lamar Jackson is a running back, and I think we need to help Logan Wilson out. When he said Lamar Jackson is a running back who can throw the ball, it was in the context of someone saying, why is Lamar Jackson so hard to stop? And he was saying, because he's that good of a runner. He wasn't trying to disrespect Lamar and say, can't throw the ball. I think everybody on the Bengals defense knows better than to disrespect Lamar. And this year, Lamar Jackson looks incredible throwing the ball.
You can go position by position on why this is a crucial matchup, just kind of for everyone individually. Setting the edge, just absolutely crucial. When Lamar stays in the pocket as a passer, and like, for example, when the Bengals played Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, when they got out, the edge was where they were looking to either scramble or extend the play and create opportunities that way by rolling out and trying to take advantage of an edge that wasn't strong enough. At safety, it's crucial, one, because Lamar can beat you over the top, that Jesse Bates continue at the level he's at. And then him and Von Bell both, what they've really improved at in my mind is covering more ground as tacklers and being able to identify things quicker and cover space. And because of the Ravens' athletic playmakers, that's another important thing. Lamar Jackson can be one of those playmakers, but so can Duvernay. So can Hollywood Brown. So literally every single position has an important responsibility. Every single position virtually was improved for the season in mind, but as I mentioned earlier, for the matchup in mind as well, because a lot of teams are playing like the Ravens right now, but few are playing at the level of the Ravens.
Well, and one more thing on the Lamar note. I mentioned Mark Andrews, but they're going to get Bateman back going in this offense as he's now returned, and he was brought in to be that deep play threat. So definitely have to account for Rashad Bateman from the Bengals standpoint, but I want to go back to Mike Hilton because he is the one free agent signing when we talk about the Bengals big three on defense, which is what I call them now, which is Trey Hendrickson, Cheeto, and Mike Hilton. They're three big free agent signings on defense. I haven't seen enough of what Mike Hilton can be in terms of a difference maker for this defense. There hasn't really been that many eye-popping plays. He hasn't forced that many turnovers. Yes, he's had a few blitzes that Lou Anarumo's dialed up, but I'm waiting to see it from Mike Hilton. And I know his leadership and his knowledge of the AFC North is invaluable, but I'm wondering if this is going to be the game where we really start to say, okay, Mike Hilton, that was a big time signing for the Bengals. Cause we've had that moment with Trey. We've had that moment with Cheeto. I haven't seen that moment with Mike Hilton. What do you think?
Yeah. So when the Bengals signed him, how it was explained to me was his strength isn't just in pure one-on-one coverage as a slot corner against a slot receiver. When he had stopped Tyler Boyd, it was more game plan. He was receiving some help in those matchups. What his strengths are is covering space, blitzing, and pressuring whoever has the ball in the backfield. Like, his best plays this season have been where, like, on some kind of screen or some kind of pick play, Hilton just kind of ducks under it, blows past it, and gets the tackle in the backfield. He's done that against quarterbacks, against running backs, and against wide receivers on screens. The Ravens have a lot of that in their game plan. So it is going to be a big matchup for him. And as I mentioned, he's an upgrade over that Darius Phillips role, over also someone who filled a little bit of that role in the game plan, Mackenzie Alexander's role last season. Hilton does those things better than those players did. And the Ravens are kind of the kind of team where they're going to test your ability to do that. And previous Bengals teams haven't been ready for it. But again, at linebacker and at slot corner, the Bengals have prepared for this type of matchup.
It'll be totally deflating for all of the confidence that the Bengals defense has built up if they go out and just get dismantled by Lamar Jackson and it turns into a blowout. Because what Von Bell said about, we know what we have, we know what's brewing over here, there's so much swagger and confidence in this defense. I think that they're ready to take that next step. And I really think that if they were able to deliver an upset win in Baltimore and they are the team that shows the blueprint of how you stop Lamar Jackson, I think we're going to see this defense completely take off. But this, if it goes the other way, I don't know how much, and you think with the leadership that the Bengals defense has in the locker room that it wouldn't be that big of a deal, because the Ravens are that good of a team, and it doesn't, if you lose this game, you're still very much in the thick of what you want to do in the postseason. But I just think from a confidence standpoint, this defense needs to have a good game against Lamar Jackson. They need to prove that what we've seen isn't just because they've played Jared Goff and the Lions, Trevor Lawrence and the winless Jags, an old half of what he used to be, Ben Roethlisberger. So I think this game is really, really important for the Bengals defense. What do you think about that?
So of any team in the NFL, I think the Ravens are the hardest team for the Bengals or any team right now to play. But from a Bengals specific vantage point, you know, the Ravens are in that tier, and you can argue about the pecking order of best team in the league. To me, with the Bills, with the Rams, with the Cowboys, and with the Buccaneers, like those teams are kind of at in that 1A tier. And the difference, though, in this matchup is, one, it's a defense that is unique in the pressure it's able to send at a quarterback like Joe Burrow. Two, it's a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, who has taken another progression in beating defenses over the top, along with extending plays and running at a pretty ridiculous yards per rushing attempt number right now. And three, a team overall that, I mean, that's just really good, as I mentioned. Like, playing on the road in Baltimore is tough right now, and I think that's the reason people are saying this game is so important. It couldn't be a more difficult test for any team, but especially the Bengals, and I think that's why people feel like there's a lot at stake this week.
And at some point, like, Lamar's not going away. So you feel like you have the defense this year with all your free agent signings. At some point, the Bengals, if they want to be a consistent team that competes for playoffs in the AFC, they got to figure it out against Lamar Jackson. So I asked Lou Anarumo this right before the season. I said, do you guys spend extra time in the off season devoted to a game plan against Lamar or the AFC North? And he said, yes, they spend specific weeks dedicated to, okay, this week we're only going to focus on the Ravens and what they are trying to do. And I think that I'm pretty sure all NFL teams do that within their division, but I'm interested to see what the Bengals come out with for their first game plan against the Ravens this season. So it'll be interesting to see what Lou Anarumo has planned for these guys. So Charlie, let's switch to the offensive side of the ball for the Bengals here in this matchup against the Ravens defense. And I thought what John Harbaugh and Marlon Humphrey said about Ja'Marr Chase speaks volumes to just how good he's been. And I want to start there. Marlon Humphrey, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL and was paid like it last year, second highest paid cornerback behind Jalen Ramsey, said that Ja'Marr Chase is making the NFL look easy. And John Harbaugh said he's averaging about 24 yards on his deep routes. So Ja'Marr Chase has the Ravens' attention. And I think that what we know about Wink Martindale and the type of job he does, I think he's a fantastic defensive coordinator, and I'm surprised he's not a head coach somewhere. But I feel like they're gonna, of all teams we've seen, they are gonna be the team that makes sure Ja'Marr Chase does not beat them. Because if the head coach, who's, I'm sure John Harbaugh's involved in all of it, but for him to kind of single out that they have now, no, they know how far Ja'Marr Chase is getting on his deep routes. I think that they, that's kind of their second way of saying, we know that this guy is the Bengals offense.
So, kind of quick tangent. So, in the first 2 weeks of the season, you saw opposing defenses targeting Bengals cornerback Eli Apple. Last season, you saw opposing defenses targeting Bengals cornerback LaShawn Sims a ton. The Ravens have one of those guys this season. That's Anthony Everett. Who is someone who has been targeted as often as anyone and who is allowing catches at an extremely high rate. Because of injuries in the Ravens secondary, they don't have two strong cover corners right now, and the result has been a weak spot. The flip side of that is, you know, maybe I'm missing a game, but I can't think of a matchup specifically where the Bengals have specifically gone after an opposing team's weak spot, a cornerback. And the thing is, maybe this could be that matchup because of Humphrey, because of the attention Chase just continues to get, the possibility that Humphrey plus a safety are paying attention to Chase. You know, against the Lions, the Bengals made a point to scheme up four or five or six plays for T. Higgins in the first half. This could be a similar game with Higgins and Boyd because of the attention Chase is earning, maybe even from multiple guys, multiple high-level players in the Ravens secondary. Is this the game that the Bengals start doing to other teams what other teams did early in the season to Apple, what other teams did last season to LaShawn Sims? Is this the game where the Bengals find the weak corner and go there time after time after time?
Yeah, and I think that Joe Burrow, we didn't get a chance to talk to him this week so far. I think that he is going to go into this game kind of more so than any game, and he does not want, Joe Burrow doesn't want to lose any game, but I think in the back of his head, he is still bothered by what the Ravens did to him last year, and I think that he really wants to show that he can shred a very good defense. I just think that he's going to go into this game with really high confidence, and I would be shocked from an offensive standpoint if the Bengals are not able to execute at least what they're trying to do pretty early on in the game. I think the Ravens will make adjustments. They're one of the, as I said, best coached teams. But I would be shocked if we don't see coming out the gates a pretty good drive from Joe Burrow. But I want to talk about Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins' involvement in this defense. And it's important because Ja'Marr Chase, what he's doing for this offense is a big deal, and it's a big reason why this team is 4-2. But I've got some questions about where Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins have been over the last couple weeks. And I know that Tyler Boyd's involvement might be decreased because the Bengals haven't been very good on third down, and that's where he usually makes his plays. But I just don't see any rhythm or themes in terms of when Joe Burrow is targeting and finding Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins in this offense so far.
Higgins, I think, is a different story. I think you saw that in the first half, specifically against the Ravens. Even Burrow's first down of the game was a play where Higgins was in one-on-one coverage. Burrow was locked in on him on his first read, and they connected for a 14-yard pass. Ran a similar play later in the first quarter. It was called back because of a penalty. But Higgins is the guy who I expected to be the Bengals' number one receiver at the start of the season. That expectation was wrong. But I think there, against the Lions specifically, was addressing the importance he has in the offense. With Boyd, it's a little different. I'm noticing a lot of like similar concepts that he runs, and I'm not quite sure how it compares to different years. But I'm noticing a lot more of those shorter choice routes on third downs. Like, think of the route he ran against the Packers that got picked off in overtime, where Boyd and Burrow weren't on the same page. Well, they're really good at that play. That was the play they used to shred the Jaguars. What I've noticed on the subsequent times they've run that play over the last 2 weeks is more attention. Boyd hasn't quite extended off that route tree as much yet from what I've seen, which isn't Boyd's fault. It's just the play design that they're using right now. And I'm wondering if that could change as well as more opportunities open across the offense.
Mm-hmm. Well, So we covered the receivers here, but let's, before we wrap this up, let's talk about the running backs' involvement in this game against Baltimore. Baltimore very rarely gets gashed in the run game. Defensively, they're very sound and consistent up front. Joe Mixon had one of his best games of his season against the Lions. And we saw what Chris Evans can be as a pass catching weapon, out of the backfield. The Bengals are going to get back Samaje Perine as he is, coming off the COVID list today. They've got weapons in the run game. What are you expecting to see from Joe Mixon based off what you saw last week against the Lions against this Ravens defense?
So what the Ravens aren't going to do is sell out on one side of the field like the Lions did last week. But so here's what I keep going back to. Last season when the Bengals played the Ravens, Mixon ran the ball 24 times. It was one of the games where it was a huge priority getting him the ball as a way to keep the Ravens defense honest. This season, Mixon's rushing at a higher level than he was last season. I think his balance and his cutting skills and his ability to get through contact are as good as I've seen, you know, as good as they were down the stretch in 2019, for example. And just they've shown that he's a priority almost regardless of the matchup. He's going to be a guy. I mean, he's second in the NFL in carries right now. He's going to be a guy who, regardless of what the opposing team is bringing at him, they're going to make a feature part of the game plan, especially on third downs. And now teams are leaving him wide open as a receiving threat. The Bengals really took advantage of that against Detroit. So now kind of leaping back to the Ravens, especially against a team that historically the Bengals have put a big emphasis on running the ball against, it seems like it would be a very big week for Joe Mixon.
And he's healthier. I don't know if he'll be fully healthy for a while until that bye week, but he practiced yesterday, was in full pads, helmet, and that's definitely something that's good because for the last 2 weeks, we don't know the percentage of how healthy he was, but he was definitely limited in his carries because of that ankle injury. So him being healthy is huge for this offense. And I think that at the end of the day, Charlie, I want to talk about this before we get out of here. Zach Taylor has yet to beat the Ravens in his tenure as head coach. And we talked about it heading into the Steelers week where we said Zach Taylor had yet to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. This is a game, in my opinion, where if Zach Taylor, everybody's believing in Zach Taylor, and I think he's done a great job building this culture, and I don't think one loss would detriment that at all. But I think that Zach's got it in the back of his head, like, I want to win this game. I want to show that I can beat and I belong in the conversation of coaches who can compete like Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh and scheme and game plan this so it's not a lopsided affair where the Ravens just blow the Bengals out. Don't you think he's going to have a little bit of in the back of his head, I haven't beat this team yet?
So Zach Taylor hasn't beat a lot of teams yet. Zach Taylor hasn't beaten the majority of teams yet. But here's why this year is interesting. I think because of the talent that there finally is on the roster, especially really compared to the last two seasons, you're learning more about Zach Taylor even in just this first 6 week window than maybe you learned in the entire 2019 season. Maybe more in this 6 game window than you learned over the entire 2020 season. You're learning his tendencies on third down, his tendencies in the red zone, his ideal run pass balance, the ideal time of snap and pre-snap motion reliance and how that ties into an offense. The ideal blitz versus conservative defense balance. You're learning all these things about the Bengals because they have options now. They have, he has the chance to put a stylistic imprint because it's a team that gives him a chance to do so where you have because you have a wider, a wider net of ways to win. So again, this might be the first time we get to see Zach Taylor's fully realized idealistic game plan against the Ravens because the Bengals finally have the multiple receivers. They finally have a run blocking offensive line unit that's good enough to do what they need to in this matchup. They finally have a tight end who's really helping as a receiving threat. They finally have a quarterback who's so much more well prepared against the blitz. They have all those things that Again, we'll get a chance to learn more about how Zach views this matchup and the role he plays and the role he wants to play against the Ravens.
Yeah, this is a fun matchup all across the board, and I'm really looking forward to it. So that's it for Charlie and I breaking down Sunday's matchup between the Bengals and Ravens. And now we're going to bring in Jason Hoffman to talk a little bit about overs, unders, and give you guys some tips if you're looking to bet on this week's slate of games. Well, here he is. It's Jason Hoffman back to give you the segment that we know you've all been waiting for. Jason, let's just start with, how'd we do last week?
We did pretty decent. Okay. Our home dog of the week, the New England Patriots. I thought they were going to pull it out, and then Mac Jones did the rookie thing.
Yeah.
Threw a really dumb pick six.
Really dumb.
Invisible defenders playing in the field. Happened to run back pick sixes. So, you know, we fell short there. We didn't have a lot of value. We actually came up a little under on the money. But as far as actual picks go, we went 2 for 2.
Okay. So this week, let's talk about it. Some pretty good games. But overall, I think that there's not a couple. Like, when I'm looking at the spread, I'm not really shocked by any of what's been put out there. How do you feel about this week as a whole?
You know, we're moving into the part of the season now where we know what teams are. They have an identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we can start picking on terrible football teams that are already starting to plan where they're taking their families on the off season, where the vacation's going to be, looking at you, Houston Texans, looking at you. Well, Miami Dolphins, Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they got a win last week, you know, still not a great team. They beat a terrible team in Miami.
Right.
So, you know, I think this is the stretch of the season where we start knowing what teams are and the lines become a little bit more clear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it not that it gets easier, because that also means that the bookmakers make more accurate lines. But I think that we can definitely start picking on some teams.
All right. Well, what do you have for us this week? Let's talk about it.
So, speaking of picking on teams, I like where Green Bay's at right now. They should have lost to the Bengals. Bengals should have won that game.
Yeah.
But I like where Aaron Rodgers is right now. I like where that offense is. The defense is good enough.
I own you. No, that's not right. Really. I don't really own you.
Coming off that big defeat of the Chicago Bears, they're giving up 8 this week, hosting the Washington football team, who amazingly...
Most disappointing team in the NFL besides the Miami Dolphins, in my opinion, right?
On one side of the ball, yes. Their defense should be elite, and it's not. I don't know why. So a lot of the heavy money from the sharp bettors in Vegas right now is actually on the football team to cover by 8. I think Green Bay blows them out, runs them out of Lambeau Field.
Absolutely.
I'll take that line all day long. I'll even take it if it moves another half point. Green Bay minus 8 is my first game of the week.
Okay.
My next game of the week, and I like this only because they're coming off an emotional win.
No, don't steal mine.
First game without John Gruden on the sideline.
You took my game.
You know what? I'll save it then. I'll let you talk about how much you like Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia
That's
Eagles.
Why, I mean, nobody can see it, but I'm wearing a jade green shirt. Spoiler alert.
That's true, folks. It is. So let's move on to the next one then. I like picking on NFL teams that I know are terrible. I also like backing teams that look really, really good. One such matchup this week is occurring out in Glendale, Arizona. The Arizona Cardinals are laying 17.5 points against the Houston Texans. Now, one rule I've had for a long time, and folks listening, I am not a multimillionaire. I am not a professional sports bettor, so take this however you want, i.e. fade me, please. The Arizona Cardinals giving away 17.5. I've always said if a line looks ridiculous in the NFL, you take the ridiculous bet. This goes all the way back to 2005, sorry, that legendary Ravens defense. There was an over-under 1 week when they played the Chicago Bears, and I believe it was Rex Grossman, that was quarterbacking the Bears, if memory serves. Might have been Kyle Orton. Either way, the over-under of that game was 16.5. And I said, this over-under is so stupid low, I'm taking the under because it's ridiculous. Final score of that game, 9-3 Bears.
Oh, boy.
The under covered. So 17.5 points is so massive in an NFL game. I'm going to lay the 17.5 with Arizona. Kyler Murray goes off, 4 or 5 touchdowns. AJ Green catches a couple. He usually plays pretty well against Houston.
I actually agree with you. I think the Texans are that bad that I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with that spread.
Now, the other side of that coin, teams that looked terrible last week, but I think are going to bounce back this week, Chicago Bears going down to my birthplace and playing the fighting Bruce Arians Tom Brady.
Do you think Tom Brady will remember what down it is?
Probably. But anyways, the Bucs are laying 12.5 against that Bears defense. I don't like that.
Neither do I.
I like the Bears to cover, not win. I see this as a 7, maybe 10-point game. But 12.5 seems like a big number to me. So I'll take the Bears plus 12.5. Then the last two games I have, one of them I'm going to let you do, as I said. And then last we'll do Home Dog of the Week and the Bengals.
Okay, so when I looked at all the games, I kept coming back to this game, and that's because I'm not shocked that the Raiders are favored to win this game. I think it's -3 when I last saw it.
3.5 currently on Tipico.
I just think that – so last year I was covering the Falcons when Dan Quinn was fired, and the next week Raheem Morris took over as head coach, and the – Falcons hadn't won a game yet, and they went to Minnesota, and they won, and it was an emotional win. Team rallied around the new coach. Then I think the next week they lost, but I'm not sure. My point here is, A, I think Philly fans are going to show up, and I think it's going to be half of Allegiant Stadium is going to be full of Philadelphia Eagles fans because they love their team. And
everyone remembers when the Chargers opened at home in that god-awful tiny little matchbox of a soccer stadium in L.A., and it holds, what, 25,000? And I think 21,000 of the people in that building were Eagles fans.
Yeah.
And Phillip Rivers was so mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do that.
I think we got that coming into this game. But I think it's a sucker bet to fall into the traps that the Raiders – even when they had John Gruden and they were 3-0, I was not sold on the Raiders because their defense, outside of Max Crosby, stinks. They don't have anybody in the secondary who can cover anyone. And I think that John Gruden and his play calling really made up for a lot of things, and Derek Carr was playing out of his mind. I think that they are not consistently a top 10 team in the NFL, and I think this is a game where the emotions wear off, and I don't know how, but look, the Eagles played the Buccaneers close. They've played some teams close, and I think for whatever reason, my gut just tells me the Eagles are going to win this game, and I honestly think it's going to be in a dominating fashion. I don't really think this game's going to come down to a field goal. I think that the Eagles are going to win this one outright. So I'm taking the Eagles here, hence why I'm wearing my Jade Green as my game where just don't count the Eagles out of this one. For whatever reason, my gut's just telling me this. So
on top of Max Crosby, I'll add Carl Nassib on the other side. Okay. But beyond a good pass rush, I don't see that Raiders defense shutting down the Eagles offense, which I think is going to be run heavy this week. Because if you can run between the tackles, they can't stop you. And then that opens up that suspect back end of the defense. And yes, Jalen Hurts, when given time, can throw balls. You can spin it.
Yeah.
I was going more of the emotional letdown game angle. But yes, watching what the Eagles did to the Chiefs, where granted they weren't able to stop them, Chiefs offense is obviously the best in the NFL, in my opinion. It's a Ferrari.
We can debate that one.
It's
on
a Ferrari
another podcast,
that at any time,
Jason.
It's a Ferrari that at any time.
We can debate
can
that
off.
One on another episode of Bengals Beat Podcast because I definitely disagree.
That's fine. But they kept up mostly in a shootout.
Yep.
And the Chiefs' defense is very suspect, obviously. But I see the Eagles going in there and winning. Should be interesting. Now, on to Home Dog of the Week.
Okay.
We do not have many good games this week again, because we're getting to that stretch where it's just hard to take home dogs. So our options this week, the Giants getting 3.5 hosting the Panthers, the Dolphins getting 2.5 hosting your former employer, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Titans getting 5.5 hosting Kansas City. Gun to my head, out of those three, I'm torn between a really bad Giants team playing a suspect Panthers team or a Tennessee team with a Ford Excursion 7.3-liter Power Stroke diesel and Derrick Henry going against the entirety of the Chiefs team.
So I'm shocked because I would take the Miami Dolphins.
I don't think the Dolphins can beat anybody in the NFL. I think the Lions would beat them right now.
Oh, I disagree. I think because of all the drama after the game against the Jaguars, is Brian Flores and Chris Greyer on the hot seat? Is Deshaun Watson coming to save the day? I think I'm taking the Dolphins.
Okay. Yep. You ride with a college quarterback playing in the NFL. Tua is not an NFL quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. He just does not do anything that inspires confidence in me that he'll lead an NFL offense to anything. And it's not his fault. That hip injury was devastating. Maybe he's not all the way back from it. Who knows? Again, point me to the most successful Alabama quarterback. It's like me saying, well, Joe Namath actually won a Super Bowl. Ken Stabler was awesome, won a Super Bowl with the Raiders. But beyond the 70s, point me to a successful Alabama quarterback. You can't do it. It's just like I say all the time with Ohio State. Point me to a successful Ohio State quarterback in the modern era. You can't. So that being said, I'm going to roll with the New York Giants.
I knew you were going to pick that, and I agree with you because this is the type of game that they win.
Exactly, and I see the Chiefs bouncing back and starting to make a stretch run now. It kind of feels like that time of the year where they turn it on. The defense is terrible, but Patrick Mahomes is just going to be like, okay, we'll win every game 56-52.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, Giants plus 3.5. You're getting decent value at plus 105. Not as good as if you take the Titans at plus 180. $100 wins you $180. But I can't roll with Miami. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. Last portion.
Let's talk about the game.
The game on Sunday.
Do you think this is the game of the week?
Bengals-Ravens should have been last week flexed into the Sunday night game, yes.
I agree.
Looking at the board this week. Sorry.
Colts
not the board.
Colts versus 49ers.
Yeah, looking
Who
at the
wants
schedule,
to watch that game?
Looking
not
at the
me,
schedule this
will,
week because we're not specifically talking about betting. Looking at the schedule, the only other game I could see just because of audience implications for TV would have been flexing Green Bay and Washington because they're both national brands.
Right.
But Washington is just bad.
Yeah. Wait, who got the speaking of the schedule, I saw that Bengals-Ravens isn't even the Tony Romo crew. It's not even the game of the week.
It is. It's
who
the
got that
Iron
one?
Eagle, or not Iron Eagle. It's
Kevin
the,
Harlan.
Kevin Harlan crew, yeah.
Yeah. Who got the A crew from in the AFC?
I would expect that it will be the
Chiefs Titans.
Yeah, because Romo does Pat Mahomes all the time. Yeah.
Probably it. We'll check it out.
That
after.
Would make sense.
But
yeah.
Anyways, back to our point. The Bengals Ravens game, in my opinion, is top two game of the week.
It's the best game of the week on the schedule, in my opinion. Definitely top two. You can make an argument for Tennessee KC, but I see this game, as I told you and Charlie earlier, a little behind the scenes for you podcast listeners. The one thing that's similar to me this week from the Ravens' other loss is week one at Vegas on Monday night, that Raiders pass rush got to Lamar Jackson, got to that run game. I think the Bengals' defensive front can make problems for Jackson. The question I have is, can Joe Burrow flip the script from last year when he looked like an absolute rookie against that Ravens defense? Yeah.
I completely agree. This game, everyone wants to talk about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, but this game is going to come down to, can the Bengals defense contain Lamar Jackson? First, it starts there. I wrote a story yesterday. It was like, I went through the numbers of what Lamar Jackson, and in the words of Aaron Rodgers, has completely owned the Bengals defense. He's thrown for almost like 750 yards and like 9 touchdowns, and then like added, I think it was like 360 yards on the ground. And that's just from 2019 when Zach Taylor has taken over and Lou Anarumo has been coordinating this defense. And I'm a big fan of what Lou Anarumo has done this year. But this game, don't even talk about what the Bengals offense can do, because if they let Lamar have the kind of field day he's had in the last couple games, it won't matter what Joe Burrow does.
Yeah, so if you look at his spray charts in those four games since 2019 started, he finds Mark Andrews on the perimeter, I swear to God, every third play. It's ridiculous.
Do you want to keep track
for a
17-yard?
I will. Okay. For a 17-yard out, all the time, 17 to 22-yard out, one of those two routes, Mark Andrews, every third play, it seems like, catches that. Or Bengals get a good pass rush, forget to contain up the middle, and there goes Lamar for another highlight run. You remember the, well, you weren't here, but that sweet highlight of him doing the double spin move down the field with like four linebackers.
Oh, yes. I actually do remember
all three
the
linebackers
spin move.
And both safeties all within like 5 feet of him. Double spin, just ridiculous. Yes, Lamar Jackson, to quote, I believe it was Stuart Scott, created it. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. Contain is the proper word. The dude is, he's transcendent. The Logan Wilson quote was taken out of context by a lot of national media folks. He is 100% correct. Yep. Jackson's a really good passer, getting better. But the dude is an elite running back who happens to also have the ball in his hand every single play.
Right.
So good luck with that. But yes, that's definitely the key. The betting line for Bengals Ravens, is Bengals getting 6.5. I believe if you're a bettor who wants to ride the Bengals, you should wait until Saturday or Sunday. I think this line's going to move up to 7, possibly 8, just because of how much money's going to come in on the Ravens, because of how much Lamar and the Ravens have owned the Bengals lately. I would wait until it gets to 7 if you really want to bet it. Currently a -112 for the 6.5. Baltimore to cover is a -108, so there's value there. The over-under set at 47.5. I think that's weather-dependent. This is the time of the year when the wind starts kicking up. If the wind gets real bad there in Baltimore, I don't know that there's going to be a ton of points scored, so that looks like it might be an under. I personally, at 7, 7.5, I would take the Bengals, just because I get the opportunity for a tie or a push there, as they call it.
Okay.
At 6.5, I'll take the Ravens to win by a touchdown.
Yep. I agree with your last statement. Ravens to win by a touchdown. I think that Bengals show a lot of progress, and it's a closer game. But in the end, I think the Ravens get the ball last and just punish the Bengals. And I think I'd go with the 6.5 as well.
However, how exciting is your job going to be if they win on Sunday?
My job is exciting every day.
Well, I know.
And I can't wait to cover my first Bengals Ravens game for the Inquirer. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup.
And it's a home game for you.
It is.
But how exciting is it going to be next week if they win this game? And then we're talking about facing a super injured other divisional opponent coming up. Or no, they go to the Jets after that.
Then we're
talking about playing a terrible Jets team, a super injured Browns team who you don't even know who their players are going to be 2 weeks from now.
Could the Bengals be 6-2?
Could your inbox be filled with optimism and happiness instead of anger and disgruntled fans? That would be incredible.
Yeah, but do you think if the Bengals lose this game, are you down on the Bengals?
If they get blown out again.
Yeah,
If they are not even in it like they were last year in Burrow's first game against the Ravens, if they're not even in it by halfway through the first quarter, then I think we are back to the drawing board of, well, now you got to prove it.
Right.
And nobody's going to believe in you, and you're going to go from number 8 in all these power rankings down to the 20s.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah. The offense cannot
be stagnant.
You can't go 3 and out on back-to-back offensive drives against it. Like, what you just said about the Stuart Scott quote is especially important against Lamar Jackson, and that's why I wrote in my story, this game, yes, it's going to be on the Bengals' defense to try and contain Lamar, but it's just as much on the Bengals' offense, because the best defense against Lamar Jackson is keeping him on the sideline, and I'm waiting for that game where the Bengals' offense just has that complete game where we're saying they couldn't stop T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd destroyed them on third down, Joe Mixon was, pounding the rock. We have not seen that game from this team collectively as a whole where they really show what they can be offensively. And I think what a better time for that to happen than against the Ravens, because it's going to take that much to beat this Ravens team in Baltimore, which, in my opinion, is one of the tougher places to play in the NFL.
It 100% is. Yeah. And I'll just echo what a lot of folks have said also this week. Throw the ball deep to Ja'Marr Chase early.
Why wait until right before halftime?
I know it's cool when there's only a minute 13 left on the clock and you've got two timeouts and you're trying to get last-minute points. Just start doing it early. Yeah. Doesn't have to be play action. You could even you can let it be known that this is what's going to happen, because if they're going to double him, there's going to be somebody open underneath. Even if they go to a zone, you got them zone breaker routes.
Tyler Boyd time.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. I don't understand, and this team has yet to put together four quarters of complimentary football. Mm-hmm. If that happens this week, they got a good chance. If it doesn't, oh boy, Katie, bar the door.
Yeah, we will be we'll be back next week if that happens, probably talking about, man.
If they win, they could be 10 to 13 point favorites going into New Jersey.
Wow.
To play the Jets, Jets. So.
Wild. Well, that would be spooky. You see what I did there? Yeah. All right, Jason, before we get out of here, I know that you have something you wanted to say to our listeners about your betting advice.
Yep. Just want to remind everybody that all the lines here are brought to you by Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico Sportsbook is a partner of USA Today Sports and the Gannett Network, which is our parent company. Gannett does make money off of its partnership with Tipico, so please be advised that all betting lines and everything given here is not actual professional advice. It is all for fun. If you or anyone you know has a problem with gambling, please call 1-800-GAMBLER and get the help you or they need. Thank you.